Childbirth can be the most amazing or the most traumatic experience for women. There's seemingly a bewildering array of choice about how to give birth and where to do it. But what's the reality? And how much have things improved for women over the past few decades? Dr. Angela Davis from the University of Warwick has just published a paper for History and Policy called Choice, Policy and Practice in Maternity Care Since 1948. She interviewed more than 150 women of all ages about their experiences of childbirth. She found, despite more than 50 years of campaigning for improvements to maternity care and more respect for women's choices, many women are still being denied their human rights in childbirth. So, Angela, your research talks about the human rights of women in childbirth. What do you mean by the term human rights?
Yeah, so the term human rights is actually something I took from Birthright, a new organisation recently set up to campaign for human rights in pregnancy and birth. And they talk about human rights as meaning dignity, autonomy, privacy and equality. But there's been a much longer kind of language of campaigning groups for women's rights in birth, thinking perhaps more broadly than that definition of rights. I think really thinking about respecting women and their choices, listening to women about what they want in birth, doctors, midwives and other health professionals not assuming that they know best for women and actually thinking about what women themselves want. So I think it's really a respect for women, their wants, their choices in pregnancy and birth, treating them with respect as well in terms of the procedures that are being done to them. One of the things that used to happen to women in the 50s and 60s was that they'd often get the whole entourage of consultant with all his students going round, never being asked if they were happy to do that.
So you've been looking at women's experiences of birth over the past few decades. There's a common perception now that actually women have more choice than ever with water births, birthing centres, home births. From the experiences of the women that you've interviewed, is that a reality? Do they feel like they have more choice?
The rhetoric of choice is definitely there, I think, in new ways. So for women in previous decades, there often wasn't a choice about where they would be giving birth. It'd be either assumed that they would be giving birth at home, because that was the norm. In many areas at sort of beginning of the period I was looking at, so the decades after the war, if their home was considered a suitable place to give birth and they weren't considered medically at risk, then the norm was to give birth at home. Later on, the norm was to give birth in hospital, so by the 1970s, it's a tiny percentage of births that took place at home, so there was very little choice. Women would just give birth really where they were told, the commonplace for in the area that they lived in. Now there's definitely, as you said, far more rhetoric in terms of if women want to have a water birth. Home births are now back on the agenda since the early 1990s when policies changed home births. There was a move to allow women to have home births again, which had really disappeared in the 1980s. This kind of stress that women should be able to choose between a consultant-led unit or a midwife-led unit. So the rhetoric of choice is certainly there. The reality, I think, does not really meet that ideal, partly because it's really the women who are most articulate and formed who even know that they have those choices out there. For most women, when they're going through their antenatal care, they're not really told about the options that are available. So unless women have done the kind of their own research, they're not even really aware what the choices are. There's also very much a postcode lottery, so not all of those facilities are available to women in all areas. Home births are more common in some areas than others, and if you don't have an area where they're usually performed, then you don't really have that choice to have them. Or with the cuts and things going on at the moment, a lot of smaller units and sort of midwife-led units are being closed down. So if the unit in your area has been closed down, again, that's not really a choice that you can have. Recently it was said that women should be able to have an elective caesarean if they want. There's women are supposed to be able to choose if they want to have an epidural. In reality, that's often, they don't actually receive those choices in terms of staffing levels, mean that there may not be an anaesthetist around to enable a woman to have an epidural, although she may want one. There may not be community midwives that are available to allow them to have a home birth, although she may want one. So sometimes the level of resources doesn't meet the rhetoric of choice either. And I think that's something that's becoming increasingly problematic with current cuts in the maternity services. So definitely I think there has been a kind of new emphasis that women should have choices in childbirth, but the reality is often that they don't.
In your paper, you talk about this idea that despite more than 50 years of campaigning, there's still a lack of human rights for women in childbirth. Surely the situation has improved for women over those decades.
That, I mean, there have been really dramatic changes in thinking about visitors within hospitals. So at the beginning of the period, fathers weren't generally allowed to be present at the birth, or indeed other relatives like women's mothers or a friend either. Visiting hours were really short, so it was quite, women could end up spending a long period in hospital alone. There has been a kind of change in ideas about deference to medical professionals as well. So there is more of a dialogue between women and their medical professionals than perhaps would have been the case when the consultant was really like the godlike figure coming around. And, sometimes women wouldn't even be allowed to speak directly to the consultant. They had to speak through the nurse or through the midwife because they were held in such reverence. So there definitely have been changes in the kind of atmosphere within hospitals, or things like women being able to bring in CDs of music or things like that, to try and change the atmosphere within hospitals and make them more homely. So there have been dramatic changes. But a lot of the same pressures in terms of particularly costs mean that quite often those desires can't actually be realised. So there may be, the water birth may be a possibility in a hospital, but there's only one. Most women can't actually access that. There's a lot of stress on trying to improve continuity of care for women, and a realisation that that might be a problem. But if kind of staff shortages are there, then it's unlikely that women are going to know the staff who are attending them, and unlikely to have a known midwife. So the desire might be there to do things differently, but I think the reality often doesn't match that. And there has been a return to the rhetoric that women, I think, should just be grateful that they're receiving any maternity care at all, and that they should kind of just get on with it, rather than respect that their opinions, their desires should really be taken into account. And I think in some ways there's still those same issues of cost and control which have always been running through it, that doctors still know best, and that women may think that they know what's going on, but actually they don't have the knowledge. Still a kind of privileging of medical knowledge over women's knowledge of their own bodies. So I think a lot of the same issues are there, although there have been changes. But it's striking that we still need all these campaigning groups. It's striking that there's stories coming out of women being left for long periods alone in labour wards, that the midwives are hard to get hold of, choices not being respected. So I think it is very striking how little seems to have changed.
It's quite interesting, in your paper you talk about this lack of emotional connection. So rather than women criticising the standard of care, it is this element that you talked about earlier about being informed about why certain procedures are happening. And it strikes me, a lot of the issue is there doesn't seem to be enough empathy of the situation that mothers are in. This idea of, you're plunged into a life-changing situation, and the whole process of giving birth, most people have never done it before, so you're plunged into this unknown. Is that the kind of feelings you'd been getting from the mothers that you've been talking to? It is this emotional part that's lacking.
Yes, I think so, in that I interviewed women who had very similar birth experience, so they might have given birth in a hospital and undergone the same procedures, such as having a cesarean or having to be induced and so on, but the relationship that they had with their carers made a huge difference in how they experienced it. So it was less the kind of the birth that they had, and more the relationship they had with their carers, whether they felt that they were informed, that they knew what was going on, that people treated them well. Even things like being offered a cup of tea, very simple things could really change how people experienced their births. And I think sometimes it's those pressures that if a maternity unit is very much under pressure, there's a shortage of staff, it's hard for the staff to provide the type of care they might want to provide. It may be less that the staff themselves aren't empathetic, but they just don't have the time in order to explain things properly, or just to be there and to kind of be reassuring, offer more detailed explanations rather than kind of just rushing in and rushing out. Or in terms, again, of the continuity of care, shift patterns can make it very difficult if different midwives are coming in on and off duty at different times. For, you're seeing different people constantly to kind of really get a feeling that you know the person who's attending to you and you have some kind of relationship with them.
And what would you say, finally, is the biggest pressure on maternity services for the future?
I think the increased concerns about cost and rationalisation are very difficult at the moment, and that there's a desire to move towards having fewer, larger units, which I think will make it very difficult to offer women the choices that they want. Often what they want is to give birth in somewhere close to them, so there's not difficulties for visiting, it's easy to get to, and that doesn't seem to be the direction that the maternity services are going in. And within the wider climate of pressures about resources, with the growing birth rate that we have, the increasing numbers of women who have their first child at an older age, the growing number of women who have health problems due to obesity or so on, it's all putting a lot of pressure on resources at a time when there is great desire to cut services. So I think that's really going to be a problematic in the years to come.